The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening. The following is an encore presentation of North State Now. Enjoy the show.
How are you? This is Linda Bott here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and your talk radio streaming always at KCNR1460.com. Well, you know, it's January and we start thinking about, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my diet? We have gorged. We have overdone. We have, well, I can speak for myself. So many, how many of you really, really, really have been, I don't want to say strict, but have been, unless you really deal like maybe with a kind of a condition where you know that you can't eat for the, you know, if you've got a pancreatic reaction to something or you're super diabetic and you can't do something where you know you have to be strict. Otherwise, it's just kind of like there's stuff out on the table, and there's drinks pouring. It's just like, sure. And then it becomes a big slippery slope for many of us. So in January, it just seems to be kind of a mindset that when the new year happens that we start thinking about taking back control of our health, our wellness, our good deeds that we're doing, maybe what we're manifesting, etc. And so that it's a perfect time to have these two individuals on the show, on my show. Now, they do have their own show here on this very station, but tonight I'm interviewing them, and that is Chef Cal DiMercurio and his beautiful bride, Krista. Okay, here we go. So welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you.
Well, yeah, wonderful, thank you very
here.
Much.
All right.
It's
so,
a pleasure to be here, Linda.
So we are, before you came on, we were talking about this book. That, let's just go right back to there, because you, which I think is fascinating. There's a book. Well, let's talk about your website, first of all, and that you are going to be writing your own book. Is this correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And so you've got a book on there now about how to make vegetables taste so good. Do you want to share with our listeners what that means? And then we're going to go back in about your 45 years of professional experience plus, you know, I'm sure it's more than that. Because when does food become your passion? How does it start? Why did you become who you are?
At a very young age. But yeah, the book I've been working on for a while, so we hope to have that out sometime towards summer. But everything kind of comes from our website. Originally started Culinarily Yours, because that's the way I used to sign menus when I was competing. And then I'm not a techie person, so I'll hand this over to my wife because, my wife, Krista, she goes by Mrs. Chef.
And
she can tell you everything you need to know about where you can find, our podcast, which we do here. We do every Wednesday.
Fantastic.
Yep, and that's
yes, you
cooking
do.
Cooking like a pro.
Yeah, and so I put together this vegetable booklet. So he's working on his cookbook. That's one project. And the website is my baby that I run everything through. And so digital downloads are my thing. So one of my questions that came popping up lately was, what do I do with vegetables other than just put cheese on them? I'm like, well, you know what? Let's try and take a look at this and come up with some ideas. And lo and behold, after a few months, I have a 28-page booklet download available online on our website, Culinarily Yours.
So this is a fantastic thing. People can come onto your website. Okay, so you've got, like, sections that are pickling and fermenting, salads, vinaigrettes, the whole enchilada, which, you know, meal preparation, when to cook things and what order. So it's pretty, and what's nice is that it's 18 to 20 pages.
It's 28 pages.
How many?
28 pages.
28? Oh my gosh. Okay, I wrote down two things. Spaghetti squash.
Yeah. So okay. There is a full walkthrough on how to think about a spaghetti squash, how to prepare it different ways, different things you can do to it, different ways you can adapt it, make it a main meal, make it a side dish, to making vegetables more front of mind instead of just, I want to put some broccoli and carrots on the side.
Yeah, and I think the entire show kind of, Linda, goes that direction is let's demystify cooking. Let's make it simpler. Let's make it easier. Let's make it fun. You know, this, instead of, and I guess we'll start off with this here, is that in Europe, they have this quote. In America, it's a similar quote. In America, we eat to live. We eat for energy. We eat so we can keep moving. All right. Well, in Europe, it's the opposite. They live to eat. They go through their jobs. They go through the day, but the highlight of their days are these beautiful meals and fellowship and family and all of that and the gathering. And I think that we've really gotten away from that in the country. And if we can help in any way be able to convince people, then that would be great.
I think, we talked about that. I was watching, a documentary recently, and I haven't finished it, just on the first, it's like a series of a documentary about twins and how they put them on different diets. And they basically go through all of their, everything you could possibly test, and to see, I've only watched the first series, like I said, so far. But it's very interesting about, and they're all, in America. So when we think about the fact that in Europe, we all know that if you've ever gone, you don't eat till 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Yes.
And they have siestas, and they start later in the day. And that they in this documentary, they talk about how, so far that I've seen, about how food changed, with the war. When World War II happened, and then we started with faster food,
TV dinners,
hot dogs that became a way of life.
Convenience, prepackaged items.
Exactly, and not nutritious at all.
No.
So I would think that getting a cookbook on how to make vegetables fun would be great for your family.
Well, there's so many different flavors. There's so many different flavors you can explore, and things that are out there. And you look at things that are seasonal. They just started doing the farmer's market here in town.
Year round.
So it's year round, so you can get things that are being grown. So you're looking at things that don't have the pesticides, and they're grown in better soil. And then they also don't, of course, have things like preservatives. And that's one of the things that people need to get away from processed foods. And it's the process that takes these foods and destroys their nutritional value.
You know, I don't know. I have to work on that with my husband, and I wonder if because he was in the military for so long, because I think about when we go buy cheese, he'll just buy that big old block of the cheapest cheese that you can get. And I think, why do you do that? But I don't want to judge him because that's his thing. But I would, you know, it's instead of really thinking about the taste of great cheese.
Yeah. You know, a big part of that, Linda, is that we're creatures of habit.
Yes.
In so many ways, we're creatures of habit, whether it's, you know, it's Friday night, we go to a particular restaurant, or we always go here, or wherever it is. You know, they say that, 90% of a person's life is lived within 5-10 miles of their house.
Okay.
So as creatures of habit, that's just how it started. But we want to break that habit because we want to see people get to a point where they're enjoying it. And this, you know, I will put it this way, that I think the country started falling apart when families quit eating together.
Yes, I agree.
Because they lost that communication.
The table time.
Exactly. And I think we need to get back to that. And that's really what we're trying to do on the show.
Okay, I like that. I like that because I think that I'll never forget, it could have been RFK, somebody talking about that the most memorable time of his growing up was what, no matter how busy his father was, there always was the table. At
yes.
nighttime, he was home for dinner with 8 or 10 or 15 people at the table. Mm-hmm. And that was their time to commune.
Exactly.
And I think it's important spiritually to connect us that way. I mean, you could be having a crummy day rather than hiding in your room and eating fast food and being on a device. Is to take that time, that sacred time of that hour and a half, and that way you can kind of, even if somebody doesn't even talk, you're still in a being around that person, almost like you're blanketing that person with food, with communion.
Well, stop and think about it. Whenever you go to somebody's house, where does everybody end up?
Kitchen.
In the kitchen. That's where everybody goes and hangs out. You know, maybe a couple of people go sit and watch TV, but everybody goes and hits up, you know, sits at the kitchen
and
counter.
And what do you think that is?
I think that's what draws us together. It's a common denominator.
Is it a comfort? Do you think that's just American?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing that you're going to do more than eat in your life. You might, other than perhaps sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah. And maybe work. But food is such a monumental thing that we have to go through. Why not enjoy it? And if you're going to enjoy it, it's not just enjoying the food and the flavors and getting more in depth with things that we discuss in this vegetable booklet, with things like what kind of seasonings you want to try. You can take the same ingredient like cauliflower and turn it into a steak. You can turn it into a puree. You can bake it. You can steam it. So just trying different things and different flavors. And I think that goes a long way to us enjoying that. And then you add the fellowship. Again, I know I've mentioned that a few times, but that's really what it is people need to communicate. They need to get together in the family. You know, you didn't eat if you weren't at the table on time.
There's two main common languages throughout the entire world: food and music.
Oh, true.
So it's a gathering thing that we can all speak. We all speak food.
We all speak food, and you don't have to speak.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's a way of communication.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Happy New Year, Redding, from your friends at Black Bear Diner, reminding you that if you're looking for more food, more fun, and more family, this is the place to be. You can count on a warm atmosphere and deliciously fresh home-style food. It's the perfect spot for every generation, with something for everyone. Come for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions. seasons, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
KCNR, the following is an encore presentation of North State Now. Enjoy.
Everybody goes and hits the specification counter. I think that's what draws us together. It's a common denominator.
Is it a comfort? Do you think that's just America?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing that you're going to do more than eat in your life. You might, other than perhaps sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah. And maybe work. But food is such a, monumental thing that we have to go through. Why not enjoy it? And if you're going to enjoy it, it's not just enjoying the food and the flavors and getting more in depth with things that we discuss in this vegetable booklet, with things like what kind of seasonings you want to try. You can take the same ingredient like cauliflower and turn it into a steak. You can turn it into a puree. You can bake it. You can steam it. So just trying different things and different flavors. And I think that goes a long way to us enjoying that. And then you add the fellowship. Again, I know I've mentioned that a few times, but that's really what it is people need to communicate. They need to get together in the family. You know, you didn't eat if you weren't at the table on time.
There's two main common languages throughout the entire world: food and music.
Oh, true.
So it's a gathering thing that we can all speak. We all speak food.
We all speak food, and you don't have to speak.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's a way of communication. Draws us together. It's a common denominator.
Is it a comfort? Do you think that's just America?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing that you're going to do more than eat in your life. You might, other than perhaps sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah. And maybe work. But food is such a, monumental thing that we have to go through. Why not enjoy it? And if you're going to enjoy it, it's not just enjoying the food and the flavors and getting more in depth with things that we discuss in this vegetable booklet, with things like what kind of seasonings you want to try. You can take the same ingredient like cauliflower and turn it into a steak. You can turn it into a puree. You can bake it. You can steam it. So just trying different things and different flavors. And I think that goes a long way to us enjoying that. And then you add the fellowship. Again, I know I've mentioned that a few times, but that's really what it is people need to communicate. They need to get together in the family. You know, you didn't eat if you weren't at the table on time.
There's two main common languages throughout the entire world: food and music.
Oh, true.
So it's a gathering thing that we can all speak. We all speak food.
We all speak food, and you don't have to speak.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's a way of communication.
In the World Cooking Olympics, those are held every 4 years in Europe. I won my Olympic gold medal in 1996. So that
congratulations.
So I got a chance to learn a lot.
Yeah. Oh, what an honor, huh? So you were – let's talk a little bit about your Italian heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us.
Well, when you're Italian, there's a variety of things. First off, you eat a lot of food, but it's a loud family, all right? And it came from – my dad's father was from Sicily.
Okay.
And so from Sicily, came to San Francisco, and then my family came out of San Francisco. And one of our favorite family dishes is cioppino.
Ooh.
And so my family were fishermen, and they would go out and
it's my dad's favorite.
Oh, whatever they would catch, the fishermen, when they got back to the dock, most people don't know this, is they would trade. Like this guy got crab, and this person got a snapper or rockfish, and this person got, clams, and then they would trade a little bit, and they would make this fish stew. So that's where cioppino came from in my family. And it's just been, part of the heritage. And then again, just growing up from there, we always had our fresh milk delivered, in the little glass bottles, here in Reading, Hopkins Dairy.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone out there remembers Hopkins Dairy, but it was before McCall's, and they would deliver the milk at the front door. So it's completely unprocessed.
Right.
Beautiful food. We're going out and we're hunting a lot of things. And life was just a lot different, but it seemed to be a little slower maybe.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we just had, a little bit different. Our pulse was different. And probably way when I think about it, healthier. We played outside and we didn't, again, processed foods were not really that much in the vocabulary, but what brought you to Reading?
I've been here my whole life. Yep, I was born in San Jose. I was 3 pounds, 1/2 ounce.
Mm.
Yeah, I wasn't even a good size tri-tip. You know, and then as soon as they got me out of the house, they moved up here. Most of my family worked at the Calvera cement plant.
Okay.
My uncles, my brothers, my dad,
my
grandpa. And again, hunting was just a big thing, but we're in Redding, we're in Northern California, so it was going to the coast to fish.
Right.
And more importantly, abalone.
Yes.
And I got abalone diving. It was always a part of it, and catching crab, and then, you know, going in the streams, Trinity River. And now remember, Linda, this was back when the limit on fish that you could catch depended on the size of your ice chest.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could catch as many as you could. Mom would clean the guts out, cook them, and we'd eat them head and tail and all. So it was just, it was a lot different, but there's so many resources up here.
And we still have those as well.
Exactly.
So now, Krista, you enter in the picture. How did you, the two of you meet?
I'm born and raised also from here, down in the Dershowitz Deschutes area, between Powell Cedar and Anderson. And I was going to church that I've grown up in, little country church, and one day I walked past him and I introduced myself because I was working with his sister, his sister-in-law, and I said, hey, I've been talking to your sister-in-law and I'd like to introduce myself, and he was like, wow.
He
didn't know what to say because I was in business, so I just walked up, you know, stuck up my hand, shake his hand, and he's like, wait, what?
What was your business, or what is your business?
Mostly marketing.
Okay.
At the time, I was in marketing at Owens.
Okay. So that's a perfect, like, marriage, you know, where you're doing the art and the creating, and then you have this beautiful person that you can pair with and have a relationship with and a passion that shares your passion and can market for you.
Yeah, it's really bloomed out of that, too. It's bloomed out to the point where, you know, I do what's in the kitchen and Krista does everything else at the marketing. And I mean, we're on Spotify and Apple and YouTube and LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram. And I'm not on any of those. Okay. But she's on all of those. And it's a big part of what we got going together. It's kind of like we fill each other's spaces here.
Well, this whole thing came about because, you know, even though I was more front of the house, service type stuff and the marketing and the office operations, I got to take over the school lunch program for my son's school, and I turned to him and went, help? What do I do? So he came in and helped me get the program started, and I started watching him going, he moves different. He talks different. He thinks different about food. I'm like, I want to know more about this because I was a home cook. I mean, I'm a solid cook. I can follow any recipe you give me. I grew up in the kitchen. My mom, my grandma, me, my dad, we all cooked together. And so for us, it wasn't coming together at the table. It was an entire evening in the kitchen together, all the way from prep to cleanup. Everything was done together as a family.
Yeah.
So I had an understanding of food, but not commercially, not to the extent that he does. So I came up to him, I think it was like 2018. I don't do the New Year's resolutions, but I came up to him on January 1st and said, should you choose to accept, I want to learn how to cook professionally, commercially, like you. I will lay aside my ego, and I will not let my feelings get hurt.
That's a big thing.
That was a big thing. Like, I will just listen, and I will just do what I'm told and learn.
Right.
And we did that, and even today we're still doing that, and that's how Culinarily Yours was born. And, you know, even though I had to kind of pull back a little bit on the website, we started out doing, back when there was like Julie and Julia Out, the movie, where she was falling through Julie Child's cookbook.
Great movie. Watched it recently. Mm-hmm.
So
again,
based upon that movie, it's like, well, so are you going to start a blog? And I went, oh, okay. So I started blogging. And then, but the blogging kind of fell on the wayside when I was working more full time at the school. But now that he's off to Foothill High School, we're picking back up, and I'm trying to do a more concerted effort to get the information out there.
Fantastic. Love that. I mean, we can all really relate to Julia. Yeah, it was, there's a Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Julie and Julia.
Yeah, it was just a fantastic movie. And, to see what she went through. And, so let me ask you, two things came to mind while you were talking, Krista, is about the student program for lunches. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to do that.
We were, he was in a private school, and they had the position open up, and he knows, the principal knew that I was into food and, you know, being married to Cal. So he's like, hey, you want to take over the lunch program? I said, sure.
So what did you implement? Because for somebody who's not, has a child in school here, I know that we used to, in my day, if you did the lunch program, you could take your tray and you always had something hot. It seemed like to be balanced where I grew up, but I don't know, what did you implement in that?
Well, because we were a smaller school, we didn't have, you know, the traditional lunch program like that with, you know, running down the line and, you know, getting your little thing of milk at the end. What we would do is, well, we started developing a menu, and it was every month there was a full menu, and so we had about 16 to 20 rotating items. And there was certain things. There was always Taco Tuesday because that's what the kids wanted.
Oh, that's cool.
There was always pizza on Friday. There was always hamburgers once a month.
Oh, you had something to look forward to. Like, you knew you could circle your calendar.
So
great.
I wrote a menu for every single month. And then I scheduled parent volunteers to help me every single month. And I did the shopping every single month, and the cooking and the cleaning and the washing and the bagging. So it was.
Do you miss it?
No.
Well, you know, I don't know. I miss it quite a bit. I mean, these little kids, when they're like in kindergarten, it's like got to be the best time.
Yeah.
Right? They come running
they're
up.
Innocent.
And they're so excited, and they're lining up.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know.
Ooh,
and they're, yeah.
So that was
enough to sell me.
I missed what I did and the program that we built, and it was so popular, and they loved it so much. But it's a lot of work.
Of course.
To understand. You know, going to Costco and going to Cash and Carry and Winco almost every single day, and then doing like, you know, $1,000 orders at the beginning of the month, and having, and it wasn't Cisco driving up and dropping off at the back door. No, it was me getting in the car, going to Costco, loading up a big old orange cart and taking it back. So it was a lot of physical work. And that's what a lot of people don't understand too about cooking and commercial cooking. It is very physical. It is like construction, and you have days that, you know, for him, sometimes he would start at 3 a.m. and be gone till 10 p.m.
Yeah, I have a
girlfriend. It is very physical.
Who owns a restaurant that's, I think, celebrating 30 years now, and I know that she goes on Monday and Tuesday after all this time. She goes to Costco, she goes to Cash and Carry, whatever it's called now, and I think about that sometimes, about the.
Jones's Fork Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. It's a new year, and we are very excited about the new leadership for our nation. Jones's Fork is offering Hornady 5.56 NATO 75 grain tap precision ammunition on sale now for just $199 a case. That's right, $199 a case. This ammo delivers phenomenal performance for your AR-15 style rifle. Jones's Fork, serving all your firearm needs since 1962. And yes, Jones's Fork will pay for your ammo background check.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Valentine's Day isn't just for sweethearts anymore. So if you're looking for a unique gift idea, stop by Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. They have a wide selection of great gift ideas, including antique and costume jewelry, vintage rings, necklaces, bracelets, brooches, and even cufflinks. They also offer antique toys and vintage dolls, antique rugs and blankets, curtains, tablecloths, embroidered linens, furniture and china, silverware and clocks, books, and a whole lot of movies, along with collectibles, including sports memorabilia and a wide assortment of glass and artwork, kitchenware, and vintage clothing. Memory Lane is open Monday, 10 to 6, closed Tuesday and Wednesday, open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday, noon to 5. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Shasta Gateway Center.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
Get ready for laughter, chaos, and unforgettable fun.
Riverfront Playhouse proudly presents The Odd Couple, female version by Neil Simon, directed by Sean Sampson.
From January 24th to February 9th, step into the hilariously mismatched world of two roommates,
Olive and Florence, as they navigate friendship, humor, and plenty of surprises.
It's a fresh twist on a classic comedy.
Grab your tickets now at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Don't miss this side-splitting comedy
sponsored by this station
and these amazing pro-arts businesses.
The following is an encore presentation of North State Now. Enjoy the show.
And taking it back. So it was a lot of physical work. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, too, about cooking and commercial cooking. It is very physical. It is like construction. And you have days that, you know, for him, sometimes he would start at 3 in the morning and be gone till 10 at night.
Yeah, I have a
girlfriend. It is very physical.
Who owns a restaurant that's, I think, celebrating 30 years now. And I know that she goes on Monday and Tuesday. After all this time, she goes to Costco, she goes to Cash and Carry, whatever it's called now. And I think about that sometimes, about the physicality of what that is, and then having to go through your list and then balance at the end of the day from the restaurant. You know, just the intense work. Of course, you're only as good as your team. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that you need that. What you need to have is you need to have a servant's heart. You need to have be a person of hospitality, because if not, it's just too hard of a job, because you need to be able to have, first off, really thick skin, which we had at a family restaurant, so I recommend that for anyone that wants to thicken their skin. But that was decades ago. But again, it is something that you need to enjoy doing, because I teach a lot. I've taught for 40 years as well. And I always tell kids the same thing. Find something you love to do, and you'll never have to work another day in your life. So come up with something. If you like to be connect with people, great. If you like it outside, be a park ranger. If you like little kids, be a school teacher. But those, you know, and for food, because it's so demanding, as my wife Krista said, you really need to have a reason and a passion, and that's what excites me.
And you're going to be writing. You are in the midst of about ready to release a book.
Yeah, we're looking to get it out by summer.
Okay. And in that book, is it basically about you and your life and recipes, or tell us what makes your book different?
And thank you for asking that, because it is very, very different in its thought. It's four different components. It's a cookbook, but it's also just as much a storybook. And it's a passion, which is also very much the same, a legacy. So those are the four directions that it came from how I was raised, how why I feel the way that I do, and then to the professional side of, you know, competing 15 years in Europe. I worked with the best literary in the world, and you glean so much information off these people, and you're able to bring it back to Redding, California, and to be able to use it. But, and you know, the legacy part, I know I've been to restaurants before, and I've heard people say this, that they'll say, hey, to ask the chef if I could have that recipe, you know, and then it'll come back, and the chef says, no, you can't have it. And I'm like, well, you know, I could live till I'm 100 years old. I will not know a tenth of what there is to know about cooking. It's just too vast. So for someone to say, I'm not going to share that, it stops the legacy. You know, and all of a sudden there's that, to me, it's a sadness. And I have a quick story on that, where my grandpa showed me how to make this barbecue sauce. And, but he never wrote it down.
Oh.
And he passed away real tragically, in a boating accident. And one of the things that really saddened me was I was never able to see this barbecue sauce slash marinade he did. And probably 15 years later, my mom had given me a book from her grandmother that was a home, what do they call those home books back then?
I think it was
then?
Like a sunset barbecue type, you know, all-encompassing, how to do everything books.
Yeah, good housekeeping or something. But what it did was, you know, it would show you how to fix your lawnmower, you know, how to, you know, do, you know, make a pot roast, and then also how to paint. So they were all encompassing books.
Life skills.
Yeah, life skills. Kind of like the Boy Scouts.
We need those now.
Yeah. So I was flipping through this book, and all of a sudden I turned to this page. This is getting almost, and it's
a God thing.
It's a picture of, it's a barbecue sauce recipe, and Grandpa's fingerprints are all over both pages in barbecue sauce.
Oh man.
You know, so that's the legacy part of it, and there's tons of stories. Just a real short quick one. I remember some folks coming up from Cottonwood, and Demon Carroll's restaurant, kind of an upper scale restaurant at the time. This is back in the 90s, and I walk up and I do what's called table touching. You go out and you talk to every
table
that's out there.
Ooh, I haven't heard that expression.
You need to talk to everybody because it's important. You know, you need to be able to connect, make sure they enjoyed everything. So I walk up to this couple, and they were a couple, and I'm taking me in a night. They were a little shabbily dressed for an upscale restaurant, but I mean, it was fine.
Right.
You know? But anyway, I walk up to them, and they had had a yard sale. They lived in Cottonwood. They'd had a yard sale to raise money to come to my restaurant for their first wedding anniversary.
Love that.
So it's those.
That's
kind of,
honor.
It's those kind of things that we get to be involved in, and it's just littered with those throughout the book.
Well, now is there? You know, we see this in there's the television show called The Bear.
Yes, I watch
okay.
it.
Okay. So, and you do this? Did you do this left, right, corner?
Oh yes, yeah. Behind you, sharp corner.
Right.
We always do time out, and that's one of the times out. And like how long before the food is ready.
Okay.
And we use a term like where the server grabs the food from and the cook puts the food up to, it's called the window.
Okay.
So as I was training my wife, as she had mentioned earlier, I had asked her one, this was quite a while back, I said, when's Isaac going to be ready for school? And she goes, 15 minutes to the window.
Okay.
So it's like 15
That's
minutes,
cool.
he'll be ready to take out.
So yeah. in other words, can you think about that window where the food is now on being ready to be served, like the server has to get it to the table. In that period of time, if you stay too long at the window, now your food is cold.
That's when it's maximum. It's at its best when it's in the window.
Yes.
And that's why you have a position I always did, called an expediter, which makes sure the people are ready for the food.
Yes.
So it comes out and goes out immediately.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things. And hot food in a hot plate and cold food in a cold plate. I can't tell you. I went to a local restaurant and had mac and cheese dish. It was a while back.
Right.
But the bowl was cold.
Yes.
So that dish is only going to stay, the food is only going to stay hot so long. And that's a pretty simple thing.
Yeah.
That's actually the first thing I was ever
taught.
Right. Hot food on hot plates, cold food on
cold
plates.
Right, right.
And when you're at home, do the same thing. Don't take a cold plate out of the cabinet, set it down, put hot food on it. Boom. Your food's cold.
I always put mine in the microwave.
Put it in the oven, toaster oven.
It makes a difference.
And I don't really like to microwave my food. So I'm just going to say that right now. I'm not a microwave cooker at all. I will heat something up or put hot water in there to heat it up, but I don't cook in the microwave. I don't like it. It makes me feel like it's something electronic has just happened and has changed the energy of my food.
I don't trust it, and I know that, you know, that information has not been revealed to us yet, but a lot of things have as life goes on, and that's one of the things that, you know, I mean, there's plastic. They say that we're eating a plastic credit card about once every 4 months now.
Yeah, well,
between plastic in the air, plastic in the soil, plastic in the water. When you go to the store, I would recommend this, whether you go to a farmer's market or a regular store, buy your product that isn't wrapped in plastic. You know, like they've got zucchini wrapped in plastic. No, why don't you go and shop someplace where they have it, like in a bushel.
Yes.
Where
it
hasn't had that additional attachment to plastic.
I agree with that. Yeah. So, okay. So, farmer's market. Now, do you guys go every week?
No. early in the morning. And usually Saturdays, we've always got something scheduled Saturday. And it's like, I can't go again.
Get back. I'm so happy that you brought that up because just like you about getting the freshest ingredients.
Yeah. And I try
and make it a point. We schedule. We literally put it on the calendar to go. If there is a weekend we don't have something going on and have to go somewhere, then yes, it is on the calendar to go.
So on your website, you're talking about the intricacies also about wine pairing.
Oh, yes.
Is that something that you're still involved in?
Yeah. We actually have been doing classes. We've done some online, especially when COVID was here.
Mm-hmm.
We did some things with that, and we've also participated in some with other people that put them on. When you're five, I'll say this on the air, but when you're Italian, you start drinking wine when you're like five, right? Because they might mix some water with it, or you're abalone diving, you need something to warm you up. But maybe it wouldn't work now. But the reality is,
in some countries, and why not?
I ran a winery for 2 years in Napa Valley.
Okay.
And I learned everything from vineyard management to bottling to everything in between and refractometers. And it was amazing. So I've always loved the dynamic between food and wine. Because if you do like wine, the right wine will always dramatically enhance the right food. But how do you choose?
Whether
there's two different ways. It's either similar or it's complex. So it's similar flavor. Like I'm having a nice scallop dish and a cream sauce. So I'm going to have a nice creamy, buttery Chardonnay that goes with that. Right. So that's a similar. A contrast would be spicy Asian food and plum wine. Plum wine, of course, is very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you'd have a Riesling or a Gewürztraminer. So it's either the opposite to help it meet in the middle or the same to just help it keep going down the same trail.
Well, I think that's a whole other show, actually. I've always been confused about wine because I kind of like either a Chardonnay or a real bold Cabernet.
Mm-hmm.
I know several friends that they love to go and they belong to wine clubs and they meet with the people who make the wines and they know about wine releases, and we just aren't those. That's not our thing. No. But it's wonderful to be around people who can tell you and pair. Like when you do a wine pairing dinner, that's fabulous.
Yeah, we did a lot. We did one of those a month for 18 years. That was one of the things we did each month. We got a chance to work with Mondavi and all the Deloach and all the great wine vintners of the past. It's always got to be, Linda, to put it this way. The simplest way is, and I have a chapter on this in the book, dinner and a movie. You're always going to have dinner. What's the movie? It used to be in the old days, it was actually a movie. In fact, they used to have this thing called drive-ins, right?
Right.
Okay, so it used to be a movie, dinner and a movie. Now what's that movie? Is the movie a beautiful list of wines that are paired with each course? Is it an actual movie? Is it going out and do something else? Is it the conversation at the table? But what is the kind of the movie aspect, the entertainment side of that? And that's what people are looking for.
So you have in this vegetable release that you've got on your website, by the way, you can go to culinarilyyours.net. And in that, if Kristen, you were talking about, there's a pop-up.
Make them away downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making a way through the crowd. I need you, and I miss you, and now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time went past me by? 'Cause you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I can just see you tonight.
Leaf Nursery's annual groundhog sale starts Saturday, February 1st through the 8th. Gold Leaf Nursery will be open 8 days straight for this sale. Mark this one on the calendar because there's only 8 days for this sale. Rain or shine, shadow or no shadow, the Groundhog Day sale will go on. And what a sale it's going to be. 30% off all container stock from 1 gallon to 24-inch box-sized shrubs, tree, ground covers, huge supply of blue spruce assorted sizes, azaleas, camellias, ground covers, tulip flowering magnolias in bud, smaller sizes, sale price starting at $12.99. Blueberry shrubs, several varieties ready to plant, roses, hybrid tea, climbers, shrubs, and tree roses, all fountains and statuary and pottery, 20% off. Don't miss this groundhog sale, 30% off 1 gallon to 24-inch box shrubs and trees. If you want an extra day to shop, ask for a rain check. This is how to get there. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Stern Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene, located in the Foundry Square next to the
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Join Arch Collaborative for the 38th annual One Safe Place Crab Feed on Saturday, February 1st at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Bring your appetite and your friends for an unforgettable evening featuring all-you-can-eat crab, music, and a whole lot more. All proceeds benefit One Safe Place, providing opportunities for healing and empowerment for those impacted by domestic violence. This crab feed sells out every year, so get your tickets now at ospshasta.org. We'll see you there.
All right, the following is an encore presentation of North State Now. Enjoy.
The reality is...
In some countries, yeah, yes, and why not?
I ran a winery for 2 years in Napa Valley.
Okay.
And I learned everything from vineyard management to bottling to everything in between and refractometers, and it was amazing. So I've always loved the dynamic between food and wine, because if you do like wine, the right wine will always dramatically enhance the right food. But how do you choose?
Yeah, how do you choose?
Well, there's two different ways. It's either similar or it's complex. So it's similar flavor. Like I'm having a nice scallop dish and a cream sauce, so I'm going to have a nice creamy buttery Chardonnay that goes with that. Right, so that's a similar. A contrast would be spicy Asian food and plum wine. Plum wine, of course, is very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you'd have a Riesling or a Gewurztraminer. So it's mm-hmm. either the opposite to help it meet in the middle, or the same to just help it keep going down the same trail.
Well, I think that's a whole other show, actually. I've always been confused about wine because I kind of like either a Chardonnay or like a real bold Cabernet.
Mm-hmm.
I know several friends that they love to go and they belong to wine clubs and they meet with the people who make the wines and they know about wine releases, and we just aren't those. That's not our thing. Mm. But it's wonderful to be around people who can tell you and pair. Like when you do a wine pairing dinner, yes. That's fabulous.
Yeah, we did a lot. We did one of those a month for 18 years. That was one of the things we did each month. We got a chance to work with Mondavi and all the Deloach and all the great wine vintners of the past. But it's always got to be, Linda, to put it this way. The simplest way is, and I have a chapter on this in the book, dinner to movie. You're always going to have dinner. What's the movie? It used to be in the old days, it was actually a movie. Some, in fact, they used to have this thing called drive-ins, right?
Right.
Okay, so it used to be a movie, dinner and a movie. Now what's that movie? Is the movie a beautiful list of wines that are paired with each course? Is it an actual movie? Is it going out and do something else? Is it the conversation at the table? But what is the kind of the movie aspect, the entertainment side of that? And that's what people are looking for.
So you have in this vegetable release that you've got on your website, by the way, you can go to culinarilyyours.net. And in that, if Krista, you were talking about, there's a pop-up where you can get the free sample page.
Oh, there's some couscous. Oh, we have some apricot jam. Oh, that sounds like it'd be fantastic. And then maybe why don't we do some Brussels sprouts? You know, just come up with things that flavor profile that you know that when you eat those, it's going to make sense.
And not necessarily going to the store on purpose, going, okay, I'm going to start opening the refrigerator in the cabinets. And there's a lot of people that can't do that. They go, without a recipe in front of me, which that's where I was. Originally, I could not function without a recipe. If it said half a teaspoon, I only had a quarter teaspoon, I could not adapt. If it said I needed 2 cups and I only had 3 quarts of a cup, I could not adapt.
Well, girl, you had to stretch.
I did, but I could follow any recipe, but that's now getting out of my comfort zone and going, you know what? Hey, I didn't have that ingredient. Let me try this. And now even our son, who's becoming top ramen king, he loves ramen, but he doesn't want to use the packet. He wants to make his own flavoring, his own sauce. So he's pulling ginger out of the cabinet. He's pulling, let's see, chicken base and curry powder and making all these different flavors. And it's like, oh, that didn't work. I'll try that again.
He's like a little mad scientist.
Do you have a place that you would recommend for our listeners that where you buy your spices? How you go about finding spices and how old, why we're on that subject matter, the part three would be, when do they become old?
You know, and just real quickly on a segue that's going to go straight into that is that, I mean, we throw away in America so much food.
Yeah.
And I think if we really knew, and I know because some of my missions work, that you see, you know, what gets scraped into a garbage can would fit a neighborhood in a third world country. And we have to start thinking that way. So as you mentioned these spices and things that were, where do we buy these? Well, using them up before we throw them out is even more important because we have this thing where we buy, let's say we buy canned goods and we push them to the back, and the next time we buy canned goods, we push them to the back, and we keep using some that are towards the front. And then someday you go clean your cupboard out and you got, you know, cream corn from the Reagan administration, right? I mean, you got that. Yeah. So using things that are fresh, coming up with multiple sources. And I know Krista might have a couple here, specifically, but you can go online and find things that are not processed. Things that are, think about if something was done to it. And just a quick segue, there was a book that came out decades ago. It's called What Would Jesus Eat?
Okay.
It was back when they had What Would Jesus Do, but it was real popular. What would Jesus eat? And what would he eat? A Mediterranean diet?
Yes.
Nothing was processed. Maybe lamb, lots of fish, vegetables, wheat that you ground yourself.
Yes.
So that's what we have to get back to. And like this ramen dish that Krista mentioned that my son likes, it's kind of a spicy one, has 57 ingredients on the back of the package.
Uh-huh.
57. I only know, I'm a chef, I know what three of them are.
Right. No, you know that a lot of it's just filler.
We are what we
eat. Bad filler.
Yeah. And so he won't eat what's in the pack anymore. That's why he makes his own sauce. Oh. As far as where we shop at Costco for some things.
Right.
Some specific things that you can only get at Costco. Like, you know, there's a really nice cheese that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
Certain frozen items that we can separate out and use individually and pull a piece out here and there. But mostly, you know, I'll shop at Walmart.
Yeah.
Winco.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as spices, we go to the Winco bulk section because we can pull out just a couple ounces and refill it. We don't buy a whole big old thing of it unless it's something we really, truly go through a ton of it of.
Yeah.
We don't buy a big giant thing.
And who's got interesting spices is Old World Market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got some like...
They pull some stuff from all around the world.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting as well. So, also, I want to encourage you, because we're wrapping it up right now. And again, thank you for joining us today, Cal and Krista Mercurio, Chef Cal D. Mercurio and Krista, Mrs. Chef. Your website is fascinating, and I love the fact that you've got this book. There's things on here that know your codes. That's a whole other interesting thing about it, your codes. You can read up on this about when you go shopping, what is modified, what's not modified, what's organic, what's not organic. And you can go to their website, How to Make Vegetables Taste Good. It's a 28-page download, and I really appreciate you guys joining us today.
Thanks for having us on.
A lot of fun, and we'll see you next time we're at the dog park.
Oh, that's right. We ran into each other at the dog park. There's so much stuff that we didn't even cover, but we appreciate you being here, and your show is here on KCNR. What night?
Wednesday nights, 5 o'clock.
Wednesday night, 5 o'clock, so we're going to be talking more about that, and can't wait for your book to come out.
There you go.
And experience more of your cooking. Thank you so much. This is Linda Bott, and this is North State Now. Thank you for joining us here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, always streaming at KCNR1460.com. I always say, random acts of kindness. Do something great for somebody today.
Just what I'm gonna do. Ooh, love to hold ya. Ooh, love to kiss ya. Ooh, love, I love it so.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.